This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Said he would. made a way. Jesus made a way.
Oh God, answer.
Jesus made a way.
Answer prayer.
Jesus made a way.
Whatever it is.
Jesus made a way.
Whatever it is.
Jesus made a way.
Whatever it is.
Jesus made a way.
Why don't you let God fix it?
Jesus made a way.
Why don't you let God fix it?
Jesus made a way. 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 Jesus made a way.
If you know God made a way for you,
way.
Why don't you clap your hands?
Jesus made a way.
If you know He made a way,
Jesus made a way.
Turn up on your feet.
Jesus made a way.
Nobody but
Jesus made a way.
You know God,
Jesus made a way.
If He made a way,
Jesus made a way.
Made a way for
Jesus
you.
Jesus made a way.
Not only on a Monday,
Jesus made a way.
But on a Tuesday,
He made a way.
Not only on Wednesday,
Jesus made a way.
What about Thursday?
Jesus made a way.
Somebody say He made a way.
Jesus made a way.
On Friday,
Jesus made a way.
Somebody say He made it.
Jesus made a way.
On Saturday,
Jesus made a way.
Somebody said on Sunday.
Jesus made a way.
Yeah, on Sunday,
He
put running in my hand, clapping in my feet. Somebody said God did. Nobody but
Jesus made a way.
Nobody but Jesus
made a way.
Nobody but Jesus
made a way. Jesus made a way.
Jesus made
a way. Jesus made a way for me one day.
Hallelujah. If you are a witness to the fact that Jesus made a way, come on and give Him praise. Hallelujah. I know that for a lot of our young people, they don't know what that's about, but the older ones of us who have been through some stuff, and when we were dealing with it, we didn't know how we were going to make it through. But on the other side of it, you ought to be a witness. Amen. You ought to be willing to tell somebody that Jesus made a way. Come on, let's thank God for our male chorus this morning. Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. As we stand all over this place, if you have your Bibles, we ask you to turn with us to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Amen. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read for your hearing verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." God bless you as you take your seats this morning. I want to talk about a Facebook kind of faith. Amen. A Facebook kind of faith. Thank you, ushers. And those of you who know Pastor, you know that I'm a strong advocate for the use of social media, both for the promulgation of the gospel and as a means of promoting events and activities. Social media, like anything else, is what you make it. Tell your neighbors what you make it. I've had the opportunity to talk to two or three individuals to actually talk them out of committing suicide on Facebook. I've had opportunities to argue both the pros and cons of various political and social issues on Facebook. I know I got some witnesses. I've had the opportunity to commend and congratulate people for hard work, anniversaries, graduations, and birthdays on Facebook. I've had the opportunity to get people to, in their own words, scream out loud laughing because of some joke I've told or some story I've shared on Facebook. I've even had the opportunity to offer words of comfort and condolence to people during times of sickness and bereavement. Y'all, we have prayer meeting and Bible study on Facebook. I personally think social media will be one of the tools that God uses to spread his gospel to the very ends of the earth. You can walk into a room of people and no one is talking to anyone. Amen. Because everybody's eyes are glued to their cell phones. Is my home and my family the only family like that? Amen. Grandma and grandpa are glued to their phones. Amen. Grandchildren and children glued to their phones, all because of social media. Even in some third world countries that I've had the opportunity to visit, even in some of the poorest places, you'll find that there are people who don't have all the food they would like to have. They don't have all the clothes they would like to have, but they have a Facebook page. They have an Instagram account. Do I have any witnesses today? Well, the Bible says that Jesus will not return until the gospel has been preached to the very ends of the earth. And I think that social media will be a part of this spread of the gospel. So there are many positive things about social media. However, I have also seen social media used in some very negative ways. I've seen people use social media to hurt someone else's feelings, to demean or embarrass someone. I've seen people post less than godly or glamorous images of themselves and others without care or consideration for who might look at it. A young lady at LSU, this was a week or so ago, got the attention of our governor. Amen. At the back-to-school celebration they had at LSU, and there were all these thousands of people around Pete Maravich Assembly Center, but at the very top of the center, there was a young girl twerking. Amen. Some of y'all saw that. And the governor was so angry that he wanted to close the whole thing out. Amen. Amen. And so social media has many influences. Paul said that there is nothing evil in and of itself, but it's all in how you use it. Nudge your neighbor and say, it's how you use it, how you use it. In thinking about the many ways that we use Facebook, I couldn't help but draw some interesting parallels, at least in my mind, amen, about how some people approach Facebook and how some people approach their faith and their walk with God. In reflecting on this, I've come to realize that our faith, much like our social media presence, can sometimes be curated, it can be displayed, and even evaluated by how it resonates with others. We share glimpses of our spiritual journey, moments of inspiration. We share our struggles, our triumphs, with the hope that someone somewhere might find hope or guidance in the midst of our testimony. There's a certain vulnerability in putting pieces of your faith out for public consumption, not unlike sharing a personal story or experience online. Yet just as we choose what to post and how we present ourselves on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok, amen, there's a temptation to only reveal the polished, the praiseworthy aspects of our faith. Amen. Hiding away our doubts and our fears and like Brother Banks said in the Sunday school lesson, our worries, amen, or even our doubts that make us appear less than perfect. But true faith, tell your neighbor, true faith, like meaningful connection, thrives not in perfection, but in authenticity. Come on, come on. How many of you would rather somebody be real with you than just show you the best part of themselves? The raw honesty of admitting that we fall short sometimes. The raw honesty of admitting that yes, even your pastor stumbles sometimes. The raw honesty of admitting, amen, that we are imperfect, that's what will draw people to our community of faith. That's why God put it in my spirit a long time ago as it relates to our motto here at Pleasant Hill, that amen, no matter what other churches are presenting, we are just real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Because can I tell you something? At the end of the day, the only thing God is going to reward you for is the real part of who you are. Come on, how many of you know God knows when you're faking and God knows when you're putting on airs and God knows, amen, that that shout ain't real or that praise ain't real. You're doing it to try to get somebody's attention. But if you want the blessings of God, help pastor preach this morning, nudge your neighbor and say, you may as well go on and be real. Go on and be real. You ought to want to be real online and in our walk with God. Just as the most powerful posts are often those that are honest, those that are vulnerable, those that are heartfelt, so too is our witness most compelling when it springs from genuine experience. In this way, sharing our faith is less about seeking affirmation and more about inviting others to journey with us. Come on, walk with me. Amen. Finding solidarity and hope together. The Apostle Paul in our text affirms his love and dedication to the gospel of Christ by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In other words, there's nothing about this gospel that I shy away from. There's nothing about this gospel that I'm skeptical of. A whole lot of people refuse to have anything to do with Facebook because they've heard some of the negative things that are associated with it. I can recall over a year ago, amen, trying to get a friend of mine to create their own Facebook page. I would tell her it's so much fun and you get to keep up with people that you haven't seen in a long time. And her response to me over and over again was, I ain't got time for no Facebook. I have too much going on in the real world to spend time on Facebook. Some of y'all have said that, amen? Well, after continual prodding on my part, after showing her tidbits of information that she was being deprived of simply because she didn't have a Facebook presence, she submitted and created her own Facebook page, and now you can't keep her off of Facebook. Y'all, my mother's 96. I had gotten comfortable yesterday in my house, and I had a taste for something. This is how you know you're getting old. I wanted some okra. Amen. And I got in the kitchen there, and I was trying to do like my friends do down in South Louisiana, cook that okra with shrimp and sausage. Amen. And I got it going, and I put this big old container of chicken broth in it. And I was wondering, when is it going to look like theirs look down in South Louisiana? And y'all, I ended up with the soup, okra soup. Amen. But it was good. Amen. And I got comfortable, and, you know, I used to be a news junkie, but since all of this craziness is going on in Washington and around the world, I don't hardly watch the news. I find myself watching Columbo and Perry Mason and the Monsters and the Addams Family. Amen. And I had gotten comfortable, and my phone rang, and it was my mother. My mother, she said, I'm trying to get this picture of me and you when I won the Queen title. I'm trying to get it on my Facebook page, but I can't get it on. I said, well, Mother, you do it all the time. Yeah, but I need you to come. So I had to get dressed, and I went home, went to my mother's house, and when I walked in the door, she had already done it. She had already got it on there. Amen. So it was nothing for me to do but get back home. All I'm trying to tell you is my mother's 96, but she's on Facebook. Amen. And she's always looking for opportunities to share prayers and to share encouraging poems and that kind of thing with people. Amen. How many of you know that you can do some positive things even with stuff that folk have labeled negative? Oh, my. Oh, my. I've heard people say that as children, amen, they they were drugged to church so much that they treat church like some folk treat Facebook. I don't have nothing to do with church. Every time the doors of the church opened, amen, my parents or my grandparents were dragging me to church. Some have even been hurt in church. You've heard me say before that there is no hurt like church hurt. Oh my, oh my, oh my, do I have any witnesses? Ain't nothing like church hurt. Because you assume that if love is the theme of the church, church ought to be the last place that you get lied on. Church ought to be the last place that you get talked about or mistreated. We assume that church ought to be the last place where you become the subject of gossip and innuendo. But I need to remind you that any place with imperfect people will have problems. Do I have a witness today? But just as I was able to convince my friend that Facebook had many useful purposes and that it could become a useful tool for her to keep up with old friends and acquaintances, we ought to be able to convince those who are on the outside of church looking in that in spite of some negative things that are bound to take place in a place with imperfect people, we ought to be able to convince them that the church is a very necessary and essential place to be. Come on, let me prod you a little by reminding you that we get fed spiritually in the church. Come on, come on, let me prod you just a little by reminding you that we get encouragement in the church. Amen. We have real genuine friendships and relationships with fellow believers in the church. Is there anybody who can help me convince somebody who is on the outside looking in that, yeah, there's some negative stuff associated with church, but there's some positive. Come on. Where are my folk who can say, I never would have made it if I wasn't acquainted with the church. I never would have come this far in life if I hadn't known Jesus, if he wasn't real in my life. Can we for a moment thank God for the church? Secondly, I can remember after getting familiar with how Facebook works, I can remember that one of the going trends on Facebook is to see how many likes you can get. Oh my, oh my, oh my. I'm blessed now. I've got 5,000 friends. As a matter of fact, when folks send me a friend request, Facebook sends me a message and says, you have reached the maximum number of friends. You can't, in other words, you can't get any more friends. Amen. I have 34,000 followers on Facebook. Amen, amen. Now, I'm bragging about Facebook, but can you imagine that if you as a believer were able this morning to look around this room and say, there are three folk up in here that I led to Christ. There are two folk up in here that I invited to come and worship God and praise God. You know, we brag about sometimes the wrong stuff. I thank God that I've had some influence on Facebook, but what a joy it would be if I could stand here and tell you, amen, even though, thank God, I've been able to baptize thousands, amen, I thank God that I have been able to lead thousands to Christ over 33 years, amen. But what a joy it is for you as members of the church to be able to look around and say, Pastor, you didn't do it all by yourself. There's one over there that I told about how Jesus died on the cross and how they buried him. And Pastor, there's one in the choir that I told about how he got up early one Sunday morning with all power in his hands. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. And I've come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when we share our faith authentically, we create space for honest dialogue where doubts and questions are welcomed and where encouragement springs not from empty platitudes, but from real lived experience. In this digital age, the reach of a single message or testimony can extend far beyond what we imagine. Sometimes touching lives in distant places. Sometimes bringing hope to someone who's scrolling in silence.
contemplating giving up on life, but some positive message that you share along the way can turn somebody's life around. The ripple effect of one genuine post, one heartfelt prayer, or one transparent confession is immeasurable. As with social media, where the impact of a post is often glimpsed in the reactions or private messages it generates, y'all, the effect of our faith, shared humbly and honestly, often manifests in quiet moments, in hearts stirred unseen. Our expressions of faith might not always accrue thousands of likes or go viral, but they can plant seeds. They can inspire courage. They can remind somebody that you're not on this journey by yourself. If you're really into Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, one of the things you try to do is post things that people will like. You try to post things that will impact people in a positive way. You repost stuff that moved you because you want it to move somebody else in a similar way. Well, I'm convinced that if the gospel of Jesus Christ means as much to you as it did to Paul, then we ought to be able to say with conviction, like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it has moved me in such a powerful way that I am convinced that it will move somebody else. I've had the same experience with the word of God. When I hear David say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." I don't know how you feel about it, but I like that. And I want somebody else to like it also. Amen, amen. When I hear Isaiah say, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint." I don't know about you, but I like that because I get tired sometimes. Every now and then, I want to give up and throw in the towel. But I'm so glad that I heard Isaiah say, "All you got to do is wait on God." And because I like it, I want to share it with somebody else to let them know that you don't have to give up and you don't have to give in if you wait on God. Where are my witnesses at? He may not come when you want him to come, but somebody